Happy New Year.
A little
something. You can do a little better than that. So a week in, guys. 1 week in. How are you doing? Your New Year's resolutions? Anyone actually make New Year's resolutions? One, two, the rest of you are liars. Week in is usually the toughest. After 1 week in is when usually you start questioning why you made them and you want to give up. So write on the wall or in your bathroom mirror or whatever it may be, why you made the New Year's resolution and stick to it. You can do it. You're strong. You believe me? No. Whatever. Whatever. It's not a motivation. I love you guys. If you're visiting with us, my name is Dermot. You're very, very welcome. Thank you for making the first service of the year. Keep it up. It's a good habit to take. So because the first service of the month, as well as the first service of the year, we want to recognize our volunteer of the month, which is always an exciting time. And it's never an easy thing to do because there's so many people who offer and give and do so much for the church. So, Catherine, would you come up, please? Catherine serves diligently. I mean, just so well in our kids' ear. She's really good at serving as opposed to encouragement. So, just kidding. So Catherine does such a great job in the kids, and she offers so much of her time. I mean, I know our kids go from, you know, one service at 10:30, another at 12:00, but even this week, I mean, you spent so many hours working behind the scenes, making sure that your kids have a great experience. So, and there's always room for more help, right?
Yes, there is.
Right. So we'll plug that in later on. But we really couldn't function as a church without people like Catherine and so many of you. So thank you so much. You can spend that coffee card on me.
No problem.
Love you. All right. Thank you, Catherine. Give her a round of applause. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about January, you know, because January is one of those funny months where it's hitting the reset button. It's one of those months where everything kind of gets clocked back to zero. And you get to do a do-over. So you kind of get to look at everything you couldn't do in 2018 or wouldn't do or you didn't know you had to do. And now is an opportunity to do it if we so choose. We can try and do it. But I love January. And I'm not sure if you guys are in love with it or not. But I love it because it really does give you that clean slate that you need. You know, it gives you that clean slate to kind of move forward. And when I was looking up, because, you know, I'm a geek this way, about January, it was actually, there was a god that the Romans worshipped, and his name was Janus. And the reason they worshipped him, and the reason we have our month January is, because this god, I think there's a photo of him going to come up on the screen, is that this god was two-faced. Now, some of you are saying, well, I know some two-faced people, but this particular god was two-faced. And what happened was he looked to the past, as well as looking to the future. And the reason they worshipped him and the reason they kind of made him one of their gods is because the Romans believed you really can't have a good future unless you study your past. You really can't move forward until you know where you've come from. And they really believed that if I can learn from my past, then my present can be better and I can dream for the future. And that's why they worshipped this god. And I was thinking, you know, if they can do that, why can't we? If we can look at 2018 and say, what didn't I change or couldn't change or wanted to change but didn't know how do I do that in 2019? Because let's face it, we all, in 2017, we said 2018 was going to be different. It wasn't. So we said the same in 2019. So how do we make it different? How do we move forward and make sure that 2019 is going to be better? I think the only way we're going to reach our goals in 2019 is to have an intentional mindset. It's to be, how do I make sure this year is going to be different from other years? So what I want to do during this message, it's the first one of the year, is that I want to try and encourage us, challenge us, and motivate us. How are we going to take responsibility for our spiritual growth this year? How are you and I going to do that? How are we going to set goals spiritually to grow? And also as a church, where this year as a church, as a community, are we going to be going in 2019? Because we can't reach goals we don't set. We just can't do it. Some of you might notice, but you know Elevate's 6 years old today? 6 years old. Thanks. 6 years. We've come a long way in 6 years. We've started to clap. So... y'all need to start clapping during worship. You're like the frozen chosen. Standing there with your hands in your pockets. But we're saying, and we've come so far in the 6 years that we've been meeting together, and it is nothing short of your commitment, your passion, your effort to see this church reach the Limerick City for Christ. And that's really what it boils down to. For those of you who've been with us from the beginning, do you remember meeting in the office and having to load up all the stuff? So we used to meet in a hotel, and we used to have to stop by an office at 7:30 in the morning. And no one wanted to do it, right? No one. So we'd all be struggling with it, and we'd get everything set up and go to the hotel. So you don't know how good you have it just walking in and out with your coffees. So us that have been here from the beginning have, you know, paved the way for you guys. But thank you. Thank you all who've been here from the beginning and met Elevate what it is. And for everybody who's joined along the way, thank you, because you're the ones who are going to make the church what it is. And I think the motto or the slogan that we've kind of adopted has been, there's always room for one more. You know, we're never done growing as a church. We're never full. There's never going to be a closed sign outside the church. That there's always room for one more. And looking back over the 6 years, I think even starting into 2019, it's reminding ourselves, why did we start Elevate? Like, why are we here as a church? And the reason we started 6 years ago was, can we create an environment or a place for people who've been hurt by church, who don't like church, who have a misconception of church, and can we introduce them to Christ and help them grow in their faith? And that's the reason we exist as a church. You see, today is a fresh start and a new year, and it gives all of us the opportunity to start fresh, not just as individuals, but as a body of believers. So when we think about it, the very introduction to Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, the very introduction to Christ is a new beginning. It's a new start for all of us. It's a fresh start. See, all of us in here have a date of birth. All of it. Mine's May 15th. You can write that down. May 15th. So it's a fresh start. We all have a date of birth. But if you're a follower of Christ, if you're somebody who's given your life to Christ, you also have a second birth, a spiritual birth. You know, the term the scripture uses, it's called being born again. And I'm not sure what part of the country or what country you might be from, but, you know, there's a phrase like a born again Christian. And I know in Ireland sometimes when you say the term born again Christian, people shudder. They're like, whoa. Due to well-meaning people in the 70s and 80s. But, you know, you have this term born again Christian, which means that, you know, we hand our lives off to Christ and we have that second birth, but it's a fresh start. So when we do that, we have this spiritual birth. And the reason we have it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this. Therefore, if anyone, who's that? Anyone. Doesn't matter your culture, your race, your skin color, it doesn't matter. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is, it's on the screen, here. We're a new creation when we come to Christ. And for those of you who've already put your trust in Christ this morning, that's the hope we have, is that we're a new creation. We can grow in that new creation. But if you don't know Jesus this morning, if you're somebody who doesn't know Christ, that's the promise you can have. It doesn't matter where you're from or what you've done or who you are. You can have a new creation in Christ. That's what he offers. That when we look at what Jesus done, that we're so forgiven that when a person truly turns to Christ in repentance, we're so forgiven, the old is brushed to the side. The old is gone. All the past is wiped out, all that sin, and we can start fresh. How many people do we know don't want to press the reset button and don't want to start fresh? But like that Roman god Janus, it's not that we forget who we were. It's not that we forget our past, that you still remember it, but we learn from it. We don't live in it. How many people are carrying around guilt, anxiety from their past, and you want to tell them, you need to let it go. Learn from it, grow from it, but don't carry it. And that's what we need to do as a church in 2019, is learn from our old selves to be a better new self. Now, I was reminded this week especially about some old habits that had started creeping into my life. And you know how you're blessed by people that are close to you and they kind of tell you. And then you have some confrontation and you're like, you shut your mouth. But you know, they bless you spiritually. And you know, they kick you into shape. But you know, we all have these habits that creep into our lives. And usually it doesn't all happen at once. They just start creeping in. And unless we have accountability with each other, unless we're together, we can't point that out to help us grow closer to Christ. So if you're here this morning and you wouldn't consider yourself a follower of Jesus, what you need to know, and I think it was a reminder for me, is I would always wait till I was a certain level of good before I came to church. That you don't have to be a certain level of good or a certain level in your personal life. Jesus accepts you where you are. Jesus accepts you right where you are, and you don't have to wait. You can surrender to him at any time. And you see, so some of the changes that we all made this year, or some people make this year, I mean, so many of us do start New Year's resolutions, but we don't tell anybody in case we fail. All of you who looked at the floor know what I'm talking about. We don't tell anybody because we don't want that accountability. But really, real change, it happens. We change when the pain of staying the same can no longer be tolerated. That's when real change starts to happen. When we're so sick of being where we are that we need to change to something else, that we can no longer stand the current situation, so we're motivated to change. See, we change in a lot of ways. Some of us join the gym. I have a gym membership. I haven't been there in about 2 years. It's nice to have in your pocket, the card, you know. But we make all these changes. We make physical changes, practical changes, financial changes. We make all these changes. But yet, as a follower of Christ, how many changes are things that we put in place to grow spiritually? How many things do we do to grow our faith? What goals have you set spiritually this year? Have you set any goals spiritually this year? You see, a lot of times, I know for myself, do you ever get sick of being lukewarm in your faith? Just going through the motions? You read your Bible, not because you have a desire to, but because you haven't read it in a while. Or you come to church because not because you want to be there, but because you feel guilty if you don't. So you go to church because you don't want to feel guilty later on in the day. You've kind of become lukewarm. And I know for myself, I go through seasons of that. I mean, being perfectly honest with you guys, I write some sermons, I'm standing on the table, and I'm like, yes, I love this. And there's some where I'm just, click. There's just that, like, you've got to be kidding me. I got to do another one this week. You know, and it's just being humans. And there's some seasons in our lives where we go through highs and lows. And I think it's normal to go through them. But what isn't normal is to stay in the lows. Is to have that accountability with each other, to be able to get out of being lukewarm and going through the motions. You know, I've never heard somebody say that I've wanted to grow spiritually. I did nothing about it and I grew. I've never heard it. It only happens with intentionality, with somebody stepping up and saying, no, this is what I want to do. But the trap you and I fall into a lot of times, have you ever done this where you said, all right, I'm going to start afresh, so I'm going to buy a new Bible? And you buy a new Bible to start fresh. Have you ever done that? Right? People do. Your old Bible says the same as your new one. You don't need to buy a new Bible. But what we want to do is we want to start fresh. So we buy a new Bible in order to move forward in our faith. But the thing we need to realize is getting your life in order to grow spiritually, it doesn't or rarely works. But getting your spiritual life in order, other parts of your life fall into place. You don't have to have your life in order to get your spiritual life correct. There's an author by the name of Andy Stanley. He wrote a book years ago called The Principle of the Path. And there was a line in the book that I would say fundamentally changed my view on most things. And what he said was, your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Your direction, not your intention, determines destination. What does that mean? What it means is, the direction of your life matters more than the intention of your life. How many of us have good intentions? Yeah, looking at the floor. Guys, new year, come on. We all have good intentions. All of us have good intentions. But it's not your intentions that matter. It's what you actually do. So, for example, my intention this year can be to lose weight. But if my direction brings me to the McDonald's drive-thru every day, my intentions mean nothing. If your intention is to grow spiritually this year, but your direction is not reading scripture, is not building community with others, is not attending small group, is not doing things like that, you're not going to grow. You're not built to be on your own. We're built for community. We're built to be able to grow and help each other. And just to plug this for a minute, our small group sign-ups are right at the back. We have 6 groups going this semester. We'll be adding probably 1 or 2 more. Sign up. There's no one too busy to join one. If you don't have an hour a week in your schedule free, you're on the way to burnout. If you're too busy to spare 1 hour, there's something wrong. So it's not that you can't attend a small group, it's make the small group a priority. Do it intentionally. Make it a priority. Because we're not built to do this on our own. See, if your intention to grow spiritually isn't going to happen by accident. And in order for us to be effective as a church, in order for anybody to be effective, we have to get our spiritual life in order, and we have to do that intentionally. See, what would you say if you went, the sports team you support, if you went to them and said, and they told you, well, we don't really train, we just kind of go out and see how it goes. Or if you go to a doctor and he says, well, I didn't really study, I just Google your symptoms. Well, you'd stop going. But as Christians, we say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, we don't really do a whole lot about it, but I'm a follower of Jesus. See, we got to put in the groundwork, the backwork, in order to proclaim we have the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to reach the city for Jesus. Because George mentioned it earlier, we can't do it in our own strength. It's through the power and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. No one I know without intentionality succeeds. And even intentionality doesn't guarantee success. It just makes it more plausible that it could happen. So no matter what we do, we got to have intentionality in our spiritual life as well. See, what we do as a church, and what we do as individuals, is so important for this city. See, if we really believe that Jesus is the answer, and we really believe Jesus is the only way, then the church, Christ, is the answer that people are seeking out. And we as a church, we can do a lot of things. We can do a lot of things, and we can help in a lot of ways. But the one thing we can never do is own your spiritual growth. We can't do it. We can't be responsible for your growth. Or the church can provide information and opportunity, and that's it. Your spiritual growth is on you. It's your responsibility. I am not going to drive to your houses and make sure you're reading your Bibles. I'm not going to go to my house and make sure I'm reading mine. You know, we got to do it and take it on ourselves. So what would it look like if in 2019 you owned and you said, you know what, 2019 is going to be different. I'm going to own my spiritual growth. What would that look like for you? How would your days be different? And I'm sure a lot of you are doing this already, so this isn't a beat down, but it's how do we intentionally grow, because we can all improve. See, what would you say if somebody told you to hand it their spiritual growth over to an organization or another person? It'd be pretty foolish, because we have to own it for ourselves. So in 2019, are we going to take responsibility for our own growth, for our own actions? Can we actually say, I'm responsible for my growth? Now, what do I mean by owning your spiritual growth? What do I mean by that? But I think what I mean is we're not going to coax you or beg you to be involved in church. We're not going to do that. That's something you should have a desire to do. Or we're not going to beg you to read your Bible. If you're a follower of Jesus and you've accepted the person who's taken your sin and your punishment, you should want to get to know that person through the power of his Holy Spirit, but also through the reading of his word. That's what it means to own our faith. I think owning your growth is you initiate serving rather than waiting to be asked. It's saying, how is the church better because of me, because of my gifts? Is the church better because of me? Am I involved at all? Or do I just show up and leave? I think owning our growth is rejecting playing victim to say the church isn't meeting my needs, so I'm going to leave. But I think the biggest one is owning your growth is understanding that growth is optional. It's optional. And unless you put in the effort, it's not going to happen. We can provide the best small groups, the best messages, the best of everything. But unless you own it, it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Somebody say amen, please. Amen. Somebody, yeah, thank you. Thanks to both of you. Right. But you know, we got to take responsibility for it. And here's why it's important. See, 2019 will be exactly like 2018 unless we're intentional and purposeful in what we want to change and how we want to change it. And here's why it's important. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians is going to be on the screen too. For this reason, since the day we've heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You see, growing is It's expected as a follower of Jesus that we grow and follow him. So you and I can't complete the spiritual mission God has before us until we're spiritually healthy enough to do it. The Great Limerick Run is on in May 4th, I think. What would happen if they start to train in May 1st? There'd be more vomit on the streets. Throw up. People know May 4th is coming. They started training last month because it takes roughly 6 months even to train for a half marathon. As a follower of Jesus, we should be training spiritually for what Christ has in store for us. Can we do it as a church? And you know, there's no reason Elevate can't impact this city and this country for Jesus. I believe six now, as I did 6 years ago. Why can't we fill Thomond Park for church service? Would we limit God that much to say, actually, the Holy Spirit is incapable of reaching Limerick? Would we dare limit him? We can limit ourselves. But you see, our trust in God should always go beyond our ability to understand him. Our trust should always go beyond our understanding. Because if we're arrogant enough to think, well, I have to understand everything God does, that ain't going to happen. That's never going to happen. Faith is stepping out and trusting God to a level only he can secure the outcome. That's what faith is moving forward in that. And I'm so great. There's been so many pillars on the journey of Elevate to see people step out in faith and grow the church. And one of the things I learned a long time ago was it is a team effort. This is not on one person. This is all of us together doing it as a unit. And as the vision of the church is to grow, is people stepping out in obedience. And I want to wrap up with just three things. And I hope you take out your pens for these, because if you don't, they'll call you out. But write these three things down. And these are challenges I wrote for myself. I don't even pretend I dare have these three things mastered. But I want to challenge you as I challenge myself with these three things that I really feel will grow us as individuals, but will grow us as a church and as a unit too. The first thing is intentionally pray about your growth. Intentionally pray about your growth. Have you set a spiritual goal to say, you know what? I'm going to try at least come to church, you know, 7 times in 2 months. You know, I'm going to set these goals. I'm going to try and read my Bible. Okay, is it realistic I read it twice a day every day? No, it's not. For some, it might be. But set goals to reach out spiritually. Because the length of time you're a Christian has nothing to do with your growth. If you've been a Christian 20 years, don't trick yourself into thinking you're growing because you're a Christian 20 years. Spiritual growth only happens through the Holy Spirit. That's it. 2019 could be the year that you sit down in January and write out those goals and you can reach them. So don't just read your Bible, study it. Don't just pray to God, listen to God. 1 Corinthians 14 says, brothers, do not be children. Don't be infants in your thinking, but be infants in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. Romans 12 goes on to say about the renewing of our mind, that the only way we can have a changed mind is by renewing it through the study of Scripture. See, make a plan to grow your faith because it isn't going to happen accidentally. And if you're a follower of Jesus, the old is gone, the new has come. It's expected that we allow the Holy Spirit work through us. It's an expectation. But it's not going to happen by accident. It's only going to happen when we make it a priority. The second thing is, intentionally pray about your giving. You guys are incredible. I don't know if you realize how generous you guys actually are. We've met our budget last year. You're doing a great job with it. But how many of us have sat down and actually prayed about it and said 2019 is coming? How am I going to increase, or how am I going to look at that and say, how am I going to do this? I want you to pray about your giving. See, for a lot of people, Elevate's no different than this. It's the 20-80 principle. 20% of the people give 80% of the income. But so many of us tip the church. We say, you know what, it was good service, so I'll tip you. It's like a waiter. Somebody sent me a text message after the service and said, even if you tip the church, you're not paying your bill. And I was like, oh, score! But it is. I mean, it's intentionally praying about it. And again, I know talking about finances in church can be awkward. Don't let it be. Scripture talks about it. We talk about it. Don't let it be awkward. It's fine. It's fine. You know? So what we do is pray about it. I'm not telling you what to give. I'm not telling you. Just pray about it. See, if we as a church are going to do well, we need to be able to support it. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. God doesn't need your money. Don't fall into that trap. He doesn't need it. What he needs is your heart. And he wants to know he's the most important. You know, I was doing some calculations, which was kind of, it was kind of fun, to be honest. But when I was looking, whoever serves in the kids ministry knows this, or whoever's been out the back knows this. That back building is an iceberg. It's absolutely freezing. It's freezing out there. So we're looking to get the heating and stuff fixed. And I was thinking, if every adult gave an extra $12.50 just for one month, we could redo the complete back. We could completely redo the heating, electrics, and repaint the place. That incredible? Just another thing that kind of made me laugh. I would place a bet. I would probably challenge anyone in here that I would drink the most coffee in the church right now. I would drink probably 40 cups of coffee a week. Anyone beat me? Anyone? Don't be shy. Who's gone? Right, that's all right. So I'm speaking to myself when I say this. This isn't on you. I'm speaking to myself when I say this. If every adult bought 3 less coffees a week, assuming the coffees are about 280, but if we bought 3 less coffees a week and gave it would add over 50,000 euros to our budget. That would employ a full-time youth worker, double our outreach budget, double our small group budget, get 5,000 extra Bibles a year into school. It would host 5 more events, and it would build us a new stage because this one's falling apart. And the reason I say all this is not that we need this whole big brand new budget. Little things help a lot. So all I'm asking you to do is pray about it. That's it. There's no guilt with this. It's just pray about it. As a matter of fact, before I wrap up on this point, even if you give nothing more but change how you give through direct debit, we can claim the tax back on that. And it'll add several thousand euros to our budget. Not by giving more, just by changing how you give. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So this year, sit down, go home, and pray how you do that. The last point is intentionally pray about inviting. Intentionally pray about inviting. We all, every one of us in here, have people, family, friends, neighbors that we want to see come to Christ, that we want to see be introduced to Jesus. And the only way that's going to happen is if not only if we live the life that Christ calls us to, we need to pray for those people, but also it's vital that we invite them to church, that we show them what it's about. Romans 10 says this, but how can we call on them to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? It goes on to say, and how will anyone tell them without being sent? And that's what the scripture says. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Invite. Who are we intentionally inviting as a church? We work really hard at making sure the environment here is welcoming and friendly. And Brian does a great job with the greeters, making sure nobody sneaks past to get a coffee without being said hi to. And that's on purpose. Because we don't want to bombard you or you know, give you a form of claustrophobic, but we just want to make sure you're welcomed. See, the only stumbling block we want here is the gospel. That's it. So who are you going to intentionally pray to invite this year in church? Who are you going to intentionally pray that comes to know Christ? J.C. Ryle said this, that the highest form of selfishness is that of a person willing to go to heaven alone. Another way I heard it phrased, I don't know who said it, but it was, how much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them about Christ? If we really believe what we claim to believe, then we believe Jesus is the only way. And how much do we have to hate somebody not to tell them about that? It's an incredible statement and challenge, but this coming year, we're going to have an amazing year at the church. I really do, as my mother would say, I feel it in my waters. She says, but we're going to have an incredible year this year. Some of the things that we're doing is I believe God's going to add to our numbers drastically this year, and it's up to you and I to make sure we're ready. See, so often, and I'll wrap up with this, but so often, we pray for God to add to our numbers. We pray for it, but so many churches aren't ready for it. If we had 200 people show up next Sunday, I'm afraid to say we're not ready. Our small groups aren't ready. Our kids' ministry isn't ready. The churches, we don't have enough chairs. So how can we be proactive and say to God, hold on, we're getting ready. We're going to have the kids' ministry ready. We're going to have our small groups ready. We're going to have the congregation ready. Now send your people. What would that look like? You see, Marie's doing a great job preparing for a massive influx in our kids' ministry. Justin is doing a great job preparing the small groups, getting those ready, making sure that no one slips out the back door unless they want to. See, we're getting ready to build a new... Next week, actually, let me plug this. Next week, if you have kids, they're going to go in the opposite side of the church because they're going to start building the car park. And the reason they're doing that, we think 2019 is going to bring a whole new set of people. So y'all get a car park space. Yay! I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Not unless you're disabled. I'm going to start bringing my mother to church. So, but there's going to be parking spaces there. And all this is only possible by your serving, your generosity, but your passion for people to come to Jesus. That's it. That's the only way this church is going to move forward. So what I want you to do is pray. Pray about those three things. Who are we going to invite? How are we going to give and how are we going to grow? Because what I don't want you guys to do is just be part of a great church. What I want you guys to do is pray about how you make a great church. Don't just be part of it. Help make it. And ask how you can do that. So let 2019 look back and say, this is the year I set goals for my faith and I reached them. That I became part of a community and it increased. My faith increased and my blessings increased because of it. Would you stand as I close this out in prayer? And I pray that 2019 is going to be the year for us. Let me pray. Father, we thank you just for loving us. Thank you that your commitment to us is just never in a short supply. Thank you that your faithfulness and blessings over the last year have brought us to where we are. And I just thank you for this group of people who have an obedient heart, who want to grow personally, who want to grow closer to you, who might want to come to know you. I pray that you just work on all of our hearts this year to restore that passion that we have and that we had for you in the beginning, that we return to the first love that we had when we first saw you. I pray a blessing on everyone here, and while we don't know what this year brings, I pray that we trust in the one that holds this year. Just let the Holy Spirit haunt us and burden us this year into repentance and into obedience. And I pray that each person here reaches the personal goals they set. It's in your name we pray. Amen.